We've been in this wisdom series, and so we're going to continue today on Father's Day with some fatherly wisdom. I first want to introduce who we have on stage here today. We have Chuck, who is Josh Kicker's dad. We've got Josh Kicker, who is Chuck's son. And then we've got the three Kicker boys. One more time, can we welcome the amazing Kickers? Now, I want to give some context to who you are, Chuck, because I believe it's important just who we're hearing from today. You shared with us, I think this last year, what an amazing Sunday that was. You and Josh both did. But for those of you who don't know Chuck is a retired captain, served over 30 years in the U.S. Navy. Amen. You were hand-selected by leadership to help architect and develop the Navy's fundamental core values. How amazing is that? After retiring, you served as a longtime executive director of Center for Naval Aviation Technical Training. Doesn't sound like you retired to me. Also, served as a business manager at his local church and served as an elder and board member of every church you've been a part of. Currently, serving as the interim executive pastor of an amazing influential church in Richmond, Virginia. You were married for 51 years to Judy. Before her passing, you and Judy had two sons, both who are active on church staffs, one of which we have the blessing to know really well. Anybody thankful for Josh Kicker, our general manager? You are now married to Polly, who is here with us today. Welcome, Polly. We love you. Been married for 7 years. Both serve at the church together. Needless to say, you have a little bit of wisdom to share for us today. And to your left is Josh Kicker, who also served in the U.S. Navy a little less than 30 years, but you served in the U.S. Navy, been on Wave Church staff for 22 years. 22 years. I say Josh serves and leads as our business manager, but it is much more than that. Really has been the 2IC in our church for many years now. For those of you who don't know, Josh Kicker helps lead all things Wave Church. What a pillar that Josh Kicker is for our church. And I want to honor you for that. Thank you for serving my mom and dad, our senior pastor, so well over the years. The good, bad, and the ugly, you have remained faithful, loyal. I honor you. We honor you. Come on, can we thank Josh today? Been married to Lydia for 27 years. We love you, Lydia. Lydia was leading worship today. And had three boys who are with us today. Ryan over there on the right is 21 years old, serves as a CG leader in Royal Youth, is currently at Old Dominion University. That's where I started my college career, by the way. It's not where it ended. I had some troubles. Will, who is 19, currently at the University of Florida, and Roll Tide. Joel, who is 15, turned 16 next month, and he hasn't told you this yet, Josh, but he's actually going to apply to Alabama. And but can we welcome the Kicker boys, the three Kicker boys? We love you guys. So we're going to glean some wisdom today, some fatherly wisdom. But before we get wisdom from the dads, let's get some wisdom from the boys about their dads. I'd love to ask all three of you this, if you have an answer. What's the most dad thing your dad does?
I'd say that groan whenever he gets off the couch. You know, it sounds like he's kind of in pain. You would have thought he just got done with a workout, but he's really just been sitting on the couch for the past 5 hours.
Is that a dad thing, Will?
I would just say the most dad thing about him is he just goes to bed every night at like 9 p.m. Just nothing else to do, I guess.
I'd definitely say he'll like ask us to like assemble or make something, and then 30 minutes in, he'll just be like, oh, you're not helping anymore. You suck. Stop helping. Get out of here.
I guess that means I'm a dad. I reach that stage where I do groan when I get off the couch. My Instagram algorithm is all about lower back pain. To the boys, I have another question. What'd you say?
In orthopedic shoes,
yes. What, again, to the boys, what is something your dad says so often that you even hear it in your sleep? I'll give you an example. My dad growing up, he said this to us as kids, and really it scarred me as a grown adult. We would be upset and sad, and in the middle of being upset, he would say, and I'll do his accent, say, Josh, show me happy. Show me happy. And in the midst of my tears, I'd have to force a smile, which he says was teaching leadership of self-emotion. I say that it scarred me, but for you guys, what is something your dad says so often that you just hear it in your sleep?
Yeah, anytime we would play like a sport or anything, He always says this one saying. He says it's always 90% mental and 50% skill, which just makes no sense. I have no idea why, but I don't know. He just loves to say it.
Is there anything else? You oversee all of the finances at Wave Church, too. That percentage scares me.
He used to say reading is fundamental a lot, but he doesn't really say that anymore because we kind of gave up on reading and he gave up on us.
It's maybe not as fundamental as anything, Ryan?
He loves to say, I don't do details, I do concepts, which I still don't really fully understand what that means. But I know he stole it from you, Pop, so it's your thing.
Oh, that's funny. Chuck, is there anything that Josh did as a teenager that concerned you growing up?
Wow. Great question. I may have mentioned it before, but other than almost letting his mother get arrested and go to jail.
Wow.
While trying to control his passion. And
it was during a basketball game, in fairness.
During a, yeah. So. Basketball passion.
Yeah.
Basketball passion. And I took him out of a game once, basketball game, because of his passion.
I had a temper.
He didn't come to the bench. He ran right out of the gym. Right out of the gym. And I have to tell you, off script, that it was a delight yesterday to discuss with him the new passion he's finding in the Three Amigos down here.
Yeah. Like when your son, who decides to work for you for the summer, like his first 3 days decides to show up late.
Ooh.
So.
That sounds like a Will Kicker characteristic. Speaking of trouble, I didn't know that. That's really funny. Who gets away with the most?
Joel.
Joel.
Is that because he's the youngest?
I don't know. I think they've kind of just given up on parenting. They kind of have like the senioritis of parenting, whatever you would call that.
That's good for you, Joel. It works. Let's get into some wisdom. I'll direct this one first to Josh. What's the most valuable lesson your dad has taught you in life?
I try to answer it on two levels. I think on a spiritual level, he taught me how to love God, which is probably the most valuable thing there, and probably more than taught, showed me how to love God. I think there's a verse in Isaiah 32:17 says the fruit of righteousness will be peace, and its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. And I think that just epitomizes who he is. There is zero lack of confidence, but he's not necessarily this over-the-top, boisterous, that's going to yell at you or anything. I got that from my mom, not from my dad. Sorry, guys. That just kind of epitomized who he was, and I think it boils down to a practical level of keeping the main thing the main thing. He's just low drama. There's no fuss about it, deals with it, moves on. I worked for him in high school in the summer once, doing some community service hours for school. And he left every day and told everybody, he's like, better day tomorrow. That was just kind of his sign off and whatever. But it wasn't blind optimism. It was just kind of perspective to who he was, that there's always a better day tomorrow. You can always improve. You can always, and he just had confidence in God and confidence in himself that, things would kind of sort themselves out.
Chuck, I threw this one in here, and sorry for I didn't let you know about this question, but is there anything Josh has taught you as your son?
I've always kind of held to the model of if you see Josh, you've seen me. If you've seen me, you've seen Josh. And so I have watched him step up several times in situations that... I guess proud is the right word for it, but he has certainly taught me that I can be proud of him and what he does and the way he acts and the way he carries himself. And he sometimes Hodge's emotions well, but since he's given up that passion thing.
I just shove him way down deep now.
I would just say that to watch him in action here serving, you know, I had to make a really tough decision once. You're right, this was not something we thought about till now, but Josh was, when he went into the Navy, was excelling there, and in fact was the top guy on two ships, and I was loving the moment of him doing that. But I knew in my heart what his call was, and it was an interesting time to pray for guidance for him, knowing that he loved what he was doing one place, but he knew where his heart was as well, and so it was a very special time.
That's amazing. I can definitely attest to both of you. You carry that quiet confidence so well, which I love. It's the opposite of me. I'm loud and I lack confidence. But Chuck, I want to ask you this. Is what is something you did not understand about parenting when you were younger that maybe you understand now?
I think kids learn more from who you are rather than what you say. Mm. I think I've learned the value of forgiveness. I've learned the value of you love regardless, and that's so important. Fatherhood, we always think of a mother's love, but a father's love carries you a long way. And I guess the other thing is the value of trust. I've trusted him in special ways and special times.
Josh, is there anything you would look back? I mean, you're still raising these boys, but is there anything you'd look back? Sounds like you've adjusted already between Ryan, Will, and Joel, but is there anything you look back and you would adjust in your parenting as you look back?
Apparently, I need to start parenting again for Joel. I think... I think I probably overreacted with everything in the first. You have your first kid, and everything's got to be right on, and everything's got to be sort of almost, you're worried about almost performance rather than character. And I just think there are seasons where you control behavior as you're going through them, but I've learned that like influence is far more powerful than control. And I think I would change some of those overreaction moments that would come into play, and probably Ryan caught the brunt of some of those overreaction moments versus apparently Joel, who we've given up on. So,
say thank you, Ryan.
Chuck, you kind of answered this already. What do you see yourself that you might recognize in Josh? Josh, I'm going to add this one on there. What do you see in your three boys that you might recognize in yourself?
Wow. I love the way that Ryan loves God. The diligence and quietness kind of he goes about it. I see that sort of attribute. And there, I love Will just kind of gets things, I guess, kind of gets concepts and not details. And so it just kind of has a natural strength there. And I love Joel's love for life. And he probably exudes it in a different way than I would. But I do love interacting with people. I'm more of an introvert, and most people will be like, really, you do? I do, and I love seeing Joel execute that out and outlive that in his way. And so those are, I guess, three things that I see.
I love
None of them match my intelligence or athletic skill, but.
There's still time. They all have hair. Who said that?
Amen. Pops has more hair than you, Dad.
Hey, we'll see. We'll see. To the boys, that's so funny. To the kicker boys, what is something you've learned from watching your dad? Not necessarily what he said, but what is something that you've learned from how he's lived?
Yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot from watching the both of you over the years. And I think it's always good to watch how people live in the good times, but I think true character is revealed in the bad times. And I've watched the both of you walk through heartbreaking loss and the cancer journey of Nelly and Gemma. And I've seen you lead our family, and I've seen you worship when it doesn't make sense and when reports are looking bleak and things aren't looking too great. I've seen you be faithful, and your faithfulness never waver. And you still see God's goodness through all of that. And I know me, Will, and Joel have watched that and admired that and learned how to be faithful in the midst of the fire and in the midst of a hard time and in the midst of a storm. And I can't think of a better example than y'all too.
Are those tears, Josh?
Pushing it deep down.
I want to bottle those tears. Will, what's something you've learned?
Just something I've learned from watching you and how you act is like how you treat mom and how you treat her with such respect. I mean, there's times where we may, as a three, like we'll may talk back. We'll talk back to you. But anytime we would ever get snappy or try to talk back to her, it was always that was not happening. It was shut down very quick.
Yeah, you understood that detail and concept clearly.
Yeah, both detail and concept were understood. So you just treat her with so much respect, and you love her. It's great to see, and I've learned a lot from how you treat her and how you just treat others in general with such love and care for others.
Amen. Joel?
I feel like just how you parented, like maybe we...
Well, obviously yeah. For you. You know?
Yeah. I feel like... We may not like some of the decisions you've made, but I feel like you do it for the best of us, and you know what's good for us without, like, us maybe ever realizing it until later.
That is good. Chuck and Josh, I want to ask you both this on Father's Day. What is one thing every father should prioritize?
You don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be present.
Amen.
I would add, by the way, Lydia, your bet's still good. He's holding on. Not so close. He knows I love him. I know he loves me. I think the three wise men over here feel the same. But we never miss a chance to tell each other that. We close a phone call with a love you. That's a great place to start if you're looking for good father advice for me.
Josh?
It's true. We do close phone calls that way. My boys always say it immediately back. My wife of 27 years, you know, like, hey, love you. No, hey, love you. And she's already gone. She's off the phone. we think alike because I jotted down presence. You know, I read a story of a diplomat in, I think, the 19th century that had journaled, and he wrote, you know, a day fishing with my son, and next to it wrote, a day wasted. And then the son's journal said, a day fishing with my dad, it was the greatest day ever. And I would just say, waste more days with your children. I'm never looking back and thinking, man, I wish I spent less time with these guys. And so I think the presence, and to honor him for those that are in the military as well, 30 years, obviously, he was gone some. I don't remember those times, but I remember the times that he was home. And I remember the times because he coached my teams as though he could, even though he kicked me out of games and threw me out of games and almost got his wife arrested for sticking up for me. But I remember those times. I don't remember the times that he was gone. And there's nothing worse than being present, physically present and emotionally absent. So when you're in the room, be available. Don't be unavailable to them.
Just a footnote. I saw an interesting statistic the other day. Chuck Colston Ministry does every year cards for prisoners. A California prison, they offered them cards for their Mother's Day, Father's Day. That particular prison, there were over 1,000 Mother's Day cards requested. That same prison, there were 6 Father's Day cards. Josh is not in prison, but I get a Father's Day card every day.
Amen. Chuck and Josh, I want to ask you this both. Maybe Josh will start with you. What was harder, disciplining the 3 wise men over there or letting them experience consequences?
I think initially disciplining was selfishly because it's more work for you. For me, it's easier just to be like, all right, fine, just keep your screen time or just look at your iPad because I don't want to have to deal with you right now. Like, I think at one time I was like, just watch regular TV. That's your punishment. Just get off your phone. Just look at a regular screen for once. But letting them experience the consequences, I think, is far harder. I think discipline, you're involved and there's action on your part. Letting them experience consequences, you kind of turn into a spectator, and you have to trust, and you have to trust God, and that's hard. And I don't think brokenness is the right word, but I think any parent would understand, you know, the ache you feel inside, and when you watch them go through something, is something you'll kind of never fully grasp until you're in that seat, and just, have I done enough? Have I equipped them enough? Have I given them all the tools and the resource? And just sitting there and understanding that ache and having to trust God with someone that you love wholeheartedly but can't control and can't control what they do. And if you're not careful, it can kind of sour your relationship with God if you come at it from a wrong angle because you're like, I'm faithful. I'm believing God. I'm in church. I'm doing these things. But they're making decisions that I didn't pass down. And so it's I think that's letting experience consequences is far harder just because you have to trust.
I think it'd be discipline as well for me. I think the key, it's kind of like a three-legged stool. It's affection, discipline, instruction. If you were to add a four-legged stool, it would be to be an encourager. I've always tried to encourage them, be positive, lift them up.
Amen. I know that I gave my dad lots of opportunities to discipline me and experience consequences. So, Chuck, I love this question. How did understanding God as a father shape the way that you fathered?
Well, there's that love thing again. You know, the Lord's the source of all wisdom, all everything, and to understand the value of loving regardless, it's clearly a God thing. I think it's tougher to do if you don't have the presence of God, the Holy Spirit in you. But the idea of love conquers all. God love. Godly wisdom. There's bad wisdom, but godly wisdom conquers all.
Amen. Chuck and Josh, I want to ask you this both. Maybe Josh will start with you. What's the best apology you've ever received or given?
Best apology I've ever given? Probably any one I've given to my wife. but it builds a connection and vulnerability. But I think I've always tried to, when it comes to them, I've aimed to model repentance, not perfection. And I've definitely got it wrong. And I think it's still kind of etched in my brain. I don't know the incident that caused it. I'm sure, again, like I said, it was my overreaction where the punishment didn't fit the crime. And I had to go apologize. And I think it was Ryan. And he happened to be in the bathroom by the time I did it, brushing his teeth. But he was brushing his teeth. I walked by and I just apologized to him. I don't even know what it was for, but his response, and he hugged me and held on tight, and it is forever etched in my brain. And I think those moments, you almost think it's humiliating sometimes to apologize to your kids or to say you're scarred. It's not humiliating. It is humbling, but I think it models repentance to them.
I'll go the other way. My dad, who is probably the most hardworking, honorable person I've known, apologized to me saying I wished I'd been a better dad. And that was coming from one of the most honorable men I've ever known. But he always wanted to be better.
Wow. Chuck, I want to ask you this. You mentioned wisdom. In life, you've had a lot of opportunities. How did you learn to discern the difference between a good opportunity and the right opportunity?
Wow, a lot of teaching opportunities there. Josh did as much correcting as he took corrections. So it was a little bit tricky when you're dealing with Josh as a youngster, because if you paused, he would start correcting the episode, whatever it was. I couldn't sing a song with different words that he wouldn't say, "Dad." Always the corrector. So it had to be a little tricky. With Josh, you had to kind of make sure he believed that he always had the edge. That became the teaching moment. And his mom used to get very perturbed at some of our meaningful discussions. But he would occasionally win one.
Yeah, I now don't know lyrics to songs and make up songs and the words to myself. So I now am in his seat where we're just making up stuff as we go.
Drive him bat crazy. You want to mess with Josh's head, do something wrong.
Our staff knows that very well. Chuck, what do you think people spend too much of their life worrying about?
What others think. I think it's in not thinking about your relationship with the Lord and having that true personal relationship. We tend to be, as a culture, always thinking about what others think about us. So I think that's, how do you measure success? What really matters? When we ought to be baselining core values for our kids.
Amen. Chuck, I'm going to ask you another question because I want to get as much wisdom out of you as possible. What becomes more important with age, not less important?
I never prayed for wisdom as a youngster. Today, I pray for it every day.
Amen. Josh, what's something you've caught from your dad versus what he taught you?
Everything I've learned was probably more caught than specifically taught. We did not, or at least I don't remember that we did. We didn't have like formal devotionals. But
every day.
They were real meaningful. But
we walked in.
But we didn't have
formal
sort of devotionals, but I still would see that his Bible was open and underlined, that it was sitting there by the fireplace, and I knew he had his time with God. So I caught that. I caught, some would say it's still lacking, but I caught how to be, caught humility. And so I think I caught generosity for sure. Probably both he and my mom are most generous people I've ever met. And would always fight to be the person on some level that pays for the dinner or whatever. So I think I caught generosity to him. I think I learned that not everything in life needs a reaction. Not every conflict deserves your energy. Not every battle needs your participation. And so I just think, watching him and how he modeled, it made my brother and I want to come back. We didn't get the formal lesson, but it created the appetite for us to come back and be able to ask questions later and say, okay, what about this? What about that? So everything I've learned from him, I think, was more caught than necessarily specifically taught. I think I caught how to navigate success as well, just because, and you heard a condensed resume, like, he never boasted about his success, but his success boasted about him, and navigating how to walk through that in life and realizing you know, keeping the main thing, like I said earlier.
That's wisdom. Don't boast about your success. Allow your success to boast about you. Chuck, what truth about God has become more real to you over your time of following him?
That he'll be involved in your life if you let him. But you gotta let him.
Amen. Josh, what does faithfulness look like to you in ordinary life?
Just keep showing up. I think it's easy to get caught up. And I think another thing I caught from him was probably more on a spiritual level. Consistency almost matters more than intensity. And I think sometimes we put a lot, especially in a spirit-filled dynamic, we put a lot of emphasis on the spiritual high and the emotional high of what we do. But I think you're more shaped and transformed just through the everyday consistency of building your faith, of having a devotional life, even when it seems like nothing is going right in your world, and just keep walking it out that way. I think Proverbs 19:11 says a man's patience yields wisdom. And I think, like I said earlier, not everything deserves an immediate emotional reaction.
Amen. It reminds me of something I'm thankful on Father's Day about my dad. You mentioned just there's something to be said about just keep showing up. And one of the things I love and admire about my dad is he relentlessly keeps showing up. I think the devil gets so frustrated with my dad because no matter what the devil does, Pastor Steve is just going to keep showing up. And over to the three wise men. What has your dad taught you about the faithfulness of God? Maybe how have you seen that in his life?
Yeah, I would kind of tie it into my answer from earlier, because even though we didn't really see the outcome that we wanted in that cancer journey, even though we didn't see the healing, you still reminded us that God is still good and God is still faithful through that, and that we don't determine God's goodness and his faithfulness based off of the result or how God answers our prayers. And I've just seen the way you've been faithful, not even just through that, but even through ministry for 20-plus years, and just how the way people talk about you, the way people talk about you points towards your faithfulness to God and God's faithfulness to you. And yeah, people honor you, and I honor you for that. So.
Yeah, I feel like I'll go off the same thing. When that happened, you didn't give up in God. Like, you kept persevering and just showing your faithfulness to him. Like, yeah, we didn't get the good outcome, but she's in a better place now, and I feel like that's when you put all your faith in God and you didn't give up in him.
Amen. Will?
It kind of goes, you are obviously both of you are the most loyal and faithful people I know, but as well, you mentioned earlier, I mean, your generosity, and you display the character of God. I mean, Dad, you're one of the most generous people I know with anything. I mean, especially with your time. I mean, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, and you are very generous and you give yourself, you love others, and you're just so generous, and you display the character of God just through your life and how you're generous and how you love others and how you live.
Amen. Chuck and Josh, you guys are both amazing examples of what it is to humbly, consistently, faithfully follow Jesus. With that in mind, what spiritual habit for both of you has had the greatest impact on your life?
Clearly, prayer. Consistency in prayer, talking to God, listening for God.
Amen. Josh?
I'd say reading the Word. When I got saved, I or rededicated, or however you want to phrase it, I just had an amazing appetite for it, and I just wanted it to be so a part of me that when things happened, it was so a part of me that it became my response to it. And I think reading the Word and seeing, when he moved from Florida to Richmond, and you know, he packed up some things and he sent me a few of his Bibles that are just underlined all over the place. And there's file cabinets full of Sunday school notes and things like that from him teaching Sunday school back in the day. And I think just that appetite for the Word of God was probably the spiritual habit that sustained me the most.
Before we close, I want to ask Chuck and Josh, both of you, this question. If you could leave one piece of wisdom for the next generation, what would it be?
Well, my BAFO for my sons has always been three things that matter. Your name, who you are. Your word, what you say. And your faith. Your name, your worth, your word, and your faith. Those are the keepers.
I think stop making up words. I have this debate with Alyssa in our office. So, but the Gen Z slang is something else. But
clock it.
So, don't confuse attention with significance. You know, I think when you. I still hope I have a lot of life ahead of me, but I think when you get to that point, I don't think anybody's looking back and thinking, man, I wish I was more impressive. I think they're looking back and saying, man, I wish I was more faithful. I wish I was more loving. I wish those things. And I think, you know, I think a father is anyone, regardless of biological kids or not, anyone that's looking to pass their wisdom, values, and knowledge down intentionally. And I thank God that I have the greatest father in the world. And I think he's my best friend now because he was my father when he was 12. He didn't try to be my best friend when I was 12. He was my dad, and he was my father, and now he's my best friend. And I think he's just taught me that faithfulness, that consistency, and stability to walk through seasons. And so...
Amen. Chuck, before we pray, I want to ask this last question. At this point in your life, what are you absolutely certain of?
Proverbs 3:13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. The best guide on fathering is God's word.
Amen. Amen. Before we close, I want to ask everybody to stay with us because after this prayer, there's the most important thing we need to do in this service. But could we just have all the dads stand to their feet really quickly? All the dads in the room, could you stand? Amen. And I want you to stay standing. I want you to stay standing because, Josh, I'd first love to ask you just take a moment to encourage all the dads in the life of our church. And then after that, Chuck, if you could just pray, prayer of blessing over the dads. There's no, make no mistake, the devil is after fatherhood. And think about the purpose and the power in this room, the call of God on our lives to be dads in this room. But, Josh, can you take a moment just encourage all the dads?
Yeah, I think... funny, statistically, Father's Day is the least attended Sunday of the year. Mother's Day ranks in the top three. But you guys have shown up, and you keep showing up. And no matter the season that your kids may be in, your faithfulness will bear its fruit. And, you know, I think of Robert and the journey they walk through and the blessing that he's living in today. And some may not be in that season, but you're doing better than you think you are. And you're doing the hard yards, and there is an impact that you have on the soul of a person that's going to leave a mark that can never be erased. No matter where they are, that mark, they're going to carry that. They're going to carry your wisdom. They're going to carry your values. They're going to carry your faith and keep showing up in their lives.
Amen. Can you stay standing? Chuck, can you just pray a prayer blessing for all the dads?
Sure. If you're close by to one of the fathers, kind of lift your hand that way, if you would, or just lay your hand on them. That'd be great. Father, we come to you this morning so, so thankful that you are our Father. We love you and we praise you, and we just ask your special, special blessing on each father in the room. Give them wisdom. Give them discernment as they go about their daily walk, as they're in their workplace, as they're with their family, and most of all, with their children. We pray your special, special blessing. Just touch them, Lord, and if there's just one dad in the room with us today, I pray that you would just open his heart if he's that one that doesn't know you. We all draw closer to you because we love you, we praise you, and just worship your holy name. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Come on, can we thank Chuck, Josh, the Kicker Boys?